to the Lord.
Good to see you. Happy Father's Day. So good to see you here today. Thanks for being a part of our worship time. We're glad that you're here. I'm Jay Scribner, your interim pastor, and delighted to have you here. We've got connection cards there in the pew. If you reach out and take one of those, fill that out and place it in the offering plate later in the service, or you can just place it on the table right out front afterwards. Let's have all of our dads stand. If you're a father, then just stand up, would you please, and remain standing. That's great. Remain standing. Wow, so many godly dads here today, and that is a blessing to us. So thank you, and have a wonderful Father's Day. You may be seated. On your way out today, we have a gift card for our fathers from Sonic, and so be sure to get one of those as you leave today. I have a friend visiting with us today, Larry Fackler, who is back here in the back row. Sometime today, if you think of it, before our service is over, just hug that guy's neck. He's been here before, and he and his sons are here. His wife of 40 years just passed away this week. And so, Larry, our prayers are with you, my friend. He pastors a church over in the West Plains area, and they gave him several days off. And so he just chose to come here and worship with us today, and really a delight to see him. But our prayers go out to you today, Larry. God bless you. Take your bulletins, if you will. Lots of information there that need to claim your attention. And Baby bottle boomerang. Do you see that? Try to say that six times real fast, okay? But we're collecting them back today. And so I've already had one or two people say, ah, I forgot to bring it. Well, bring it next time you're here. And we sure appreciate that emphasis for our crisis pregnancy center work here in this area. Also, men, if you'll please note the men's Bible study postponed. Please read that and plan on looking for some more information about that. We're going to repurpose that for early in September. You'll be hearing more about that. That's a great Bible study for our men, but in order to get lots of men involved in that, we're going to pick one day a week that we'll be doing that and offering it in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. That way, that will fit your schedule. And so you'll be able to pick one of those time slots. You'll be hearing more about that as we get closer to that. Also, you've got a bulletin insert once again about our Independence Day celebration. And you've got an item in your bulletin where you can tear that off and put it in the offering plate so that we can know that you're helping us as a volunteer. We're going to need lots of volunteers that day. And so just plan on participating with that. And look that bulletin insert over, because we are having several of you have already said, I want to help with this item or this item. But as you note in that bulletin insert, we've still got several items where we need some special help. All right, read all through that bulletin, and lots of things going on at First Baptist Church. And so get involved with it, and get involved in these different areas of ministry and fellowship opportunities. Now, because today's Father's Day, we're not going to have any services or activities this evening, and that way you can enjoy Dad's Day in a special way with your family. Once again, thanks for being here. Let's everybody stand, move around, and share a handshake and a smile with people. Would you please?
You said go, so I will go. You said tell, so I will tell. Sharing your story, proclaiming your glory to a world that needs to know what they're worth.
I will take your name. good news of salvation, baptizing the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will teach the things that you commanded. Make sure that your truth is planted. Jesus, I will do whatever it takes to bring glory to your name.
Nancy and David, thank you all so much for ministering to us today. Kent and Rhonda are on vacation with their kids, a trip to Florida. And choir, thank you all so much. And Heather, thank you. God bless each of you. And our instrumentalist and praise team. Let's pray together, please. And Steve Blackwelder is going to be singing.
You taught me how to ride a bike, fly my shoes and fly a kite, how to swim and how to fish, to see a star and make a wish. Said it's okay to make mistakes, just don't get stuck in yesterday. Forgive, forget, and move ahead, 'cause life is what you make of it. Now you're gone and all I have are memories I hold dear. If I'm quiet, I hear your voice still ringing in my ears, saying live with no excuses, love with no regrets, laugh a lot and leave this life with nothing left unsaid. Make this world a better place, don't be afraid to cry. When it's finally time to say goodbye, there's nothing to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to hide. It's the life cannot be measured by the place you live, the car you drive, the thing that counts the day you die, is who you are, who's inside. So tell the truth, don't ever lie. Your word, your bond, your highest price, guarding closely with your life. So many things I've learned from you about life and love. What I heard you say, live with no excuses, love with no regrets, laugh a lot and leave this world with nothing left unsaid. Make this world a better place, don't be laugh a lot and I'll leave this life with nothing left unsaid. Make this world a better place, I'm not afraid to cry. When it's finally time to say goodbye, when it's finally time to say goodbye, to prove, nothing to lose, nothing to hide.
Steve, that's a great song. Thank you for doing a good job with that. Well, take your listening sheets, if you will. Get a pen or pencil ready. Hey, there go several kids to Children's Church. Let's just give them an applause, all right? That's a good deal. And go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you will. Turn to Genesis 22 and put a thumb there, and then all the way back to Hebrews chapter 11. So Genesis 22 and then Hebrews chapter 11. We'll look at those corresponding passages here in just a few moments. There was a little kid in a large city, busy street. He was about halfway down the sidewalk, but he was standing all the way out at the curb, and lots of cars passing by rather fast. And this older gentleman, as he was walking down the sidewalk, he saw this little kid, and he stepped up to him, and he said, "Hey, Sonny, you probably ought to stand back from the curb and not be so close to the street." And the little boy looked up at him and he said, "I'm waiting on the bus. It's going to stop here and pick me up." And the older gentleman said, "Well, son, the bus stop is actually down at about a block down. And that's where the bus stops." And the little kid, still standing there close to the road, he said, "It'll stop here to pick me up." And the older gentleman said, "Well, I'm a little concerned about how close you are to the street. And again, you better start walking because the bus stops down there." And the little kid, still standing close, right on the curb, looking, watching the traffic go by, he said, "I'll just wait right here." Yeah, the older gentleman muttered something and shook his head and started walking away. And he got about halfway down the block and he heard brakes screeching. And he turned and he saw the city bus coming and stopped right there for that kid. And the older gentleman turned around and watched that as the door opened, and as the little kid started to get on, he stopped and he leaned back and said, "Hey, mister, my daddy's the bus driver." Well, if God is your father, let me encourage you. He's going to stop for you, so get on his bus. Get on his bus. I want to talk about fathers today and a father of faith. I don't think that there's any more profound story of faith than that which is illustrated by Abraham. And there's so many wonderful stories about Abraham, but Abraham as a father. So let's start with Genesis 22. Now, we've got Hebrews 11 there. And so let's go ahead and read that. Hebrews 11, we've got it on the screen. So you've got a thumb in Hebrews 11, and you've got one in Genesis 22. Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up," look at this, "even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And you remember that Abraham began his strong journey of faith when he was about 75, and he was right at 100 when he actually gave birth to Isaac. And it was through Isaac that God had given Abraham the promise that he would be a father of many nations. Now, that's a long story and just a phenomenal story that's still going on today, as a matter of fact. And the story that we're going to read in correlation to this over in Genesis chapter 22, so go ahead and turn back to that now, Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was well over 100 years old when this particular story took place. And the corresponding passage there in Hebrews 11 gives us the perspective of Abraham's faith. And so let's read that, Genesis chapter 22, and take your listening sheet. Probably on the back of your listening sheet, because I'm going to rattle off seven things from Genesis 22 for you, and I don't think I've got it on PowerPoint, and it's not the particular points that I have for you there. I'm going to give those to you here in just a few moments. Genesis 22, so let's read this corresponding story. And this is just an amazing story of faith. Verse 1 says, it came to pass, we're in Genesis chapter 22, it came to pass after these things that God tempted Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and Abraham responded, behold, here I am. And God said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and get you into the land of Moriah, and look at this, offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. And so Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He brought the wood for the burnt offering. He rose up, he went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young men, abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, he laid upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire and along with him and a knife, and both of them went together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he responded, here I am, son. And Isaac said, we've got the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went together. They came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and put the wood in order. Now look at this. And bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, do not lay your hand upon the lad, neither do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Wow, what a phenomenal story. What an amazing story. We're talking today about a father of faith. Are you a father of faith today? Do you want to be a father of faith? Let me tell you, we need more fathers of what? Faith. We need fathers of faith. I want to be that. How about you, Dad? Do you want to be a father of faith? I'm going to show you four principles here in just a moment, but let me just rattle these seven things off. We're in Genesis 22. We're in Genesis 22 because there are several principles here. And remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And you've got faith. You've got faith. I could prove that to you pretty easily, to be honest with you. But we all have a measure of faith. The Bible tells us that. So I hear people periodically say, well, I guess I don't have enough faith. No, you've got enough faith. It's not the amount of faith, because the reality is you could have faith just the size of a grain of mustard seed and you'd be able to remove mountains. And so it's not the amount of faith, my friend, it's how you focus your faith. And so you do have faith, Dad, and you've got sufficient faith. And you also need to know, just like this, true faith is going to be tested. So here they are. And probably on the back side of your listening sheet, you can just jot these seven things down. Number one, his faith, here we go, his face was pointed toward God. His face was pointed toward God. That's verse 1. We're in Genesis 22. It came to pass after these things that God tempted Abraham. He said, Abraham, and he said, here I am. So his face was pointed toward God. Dads, you just need to keep your face pointed toward God. Number two, he followed the plans of God. That's verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, along with Isaac his son, took the wood for burnt offering. He rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. And that's verse 2, to where God told him, I want you to go to Moriah to do what? Whoa, look at that. And offer your son there for a burnt offering. And verse 3, he's getting up early in the morning, he's doing what God told him. Wow. So he followed the plans of God. You may not always understand the plans of God, because you can be assured Abraham wouldn't have. So you may not always understand the plans of God, but you always need to follow the plans of God. Here's number 3. His faith was placed in God. Verse 5, Abraham said to the young man, abide here with the donkey, and I and Isaac will go yonder and worship. Now, I love the way this is written. And come again to you. Now, if you were to structurally, from an English standpoint, structurally conjugate all that, then here's how you'd read that. I and the lad are going to go to the mountain. I and the lad are going to worship. And I and the lad are going to come back. I like the way that's written. Now that is a phenomenal statement of faith. All right, here's number 4. He found the provision of God. And verse 8 says, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So he found the provision of God. He made the declaration. That's a declaration of faith, my friend. Because his son said, hey, Dad, we've got the wood. We've got the ability to start this fire. But where's the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? And once again, Abraham, this phenomenal father of faith, says, God's going to provide that, son. That's a phenomenal declaration of faith. All right, what am I ready for? Number 5, his faithfulness proved his love for God. His faithfulness proved his love for God. And so Abraham builds the altar, he puts the wood in order, and then he follows through. God said, here's what I want you to do. He follows through, and he binds Isaac up, he lays him on the altar, and he actually takes the knife, and he's getting ready to kill him, just like God said. He's getting ready to do that. And the angel of the Lord called to him, said, wait, hold it. And then there in verse 12, he says, for now I know that you fear God. So his faithfulness proved his love for God. Verse 10, Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Verse 12, that's number 6. His fear was in the person of God. His fear was in the person of God. Number 6, his fear was in the person of God. And that's verse 12, for now I know that you fear God. And then number 7, the fulfillment of the promise of God. That's verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes. He looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. How? By what? All right, there's a reason for that. That's a whole other sermon we don't have time to get into. But this offering needed to be without blemish. So the ram wasn't caught in the thicket. Well, he's caught in the thicket, but by his horns. So that burnt offering would be pleasing unto God. Well, there's just a whole lot to say there. I've given you 7 things. What an amazing story. But I want to correlate that with Hebrews 11. How could Abraham do that? Well, he could do that because he was a father of what? Faith. He was a father of faith. That's what we're talking about today. Are you a father of faith? Do you want to be a father of faith? Do you need to be a father of faith? Abraham was a father of faith. And Abraham was convinced because God had said, I'm going to bless you through Isaac. You're going to be the father of many nations. You won't be able to number your descendants. Well, how in the world is that going to happen if, in fact, God says, oh, by the way, now, I want you to take your only son that you love. I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. Abraham's going to be in a dilemma if he doesn't function by faith. And Abraham, if it had been me, I'd probably be thinking, now wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. You're going to get yourself in a mess here. Now wait a minute, God. Let me remind you. You know this son that we waited for so long? Do you know how old 100 is, God? And now you want me to do what? You want me to kill him? Listen, we don't have any indication that Abraham went through any of those mental gyrations. No. He gets up early in the morning. Son, we're going to go worship in a mountain that God's going to show us. Take a couple of our servants with us. And they get to the mountain. And Abraham says, you guys stay here with the animals. My son and I are going to go up that mountain. My son and I are going to worship. And my son and I are going to come back. Amen. And then they get up there. And they build the altar. And they put the wood in place. And we don't have any indication that Abraham said, now are you sure you want me to do this? No. He binds Isaac. He lays him on the altar. He takes his knife. How could he do that? Well, we read it in Hebrews 11. We read that in Hebrews 11. Because Abraham so believed God. Abraham had such phenomenal faith. Abraham knew that God was a God of his word. And so even if, now follow this, even if Abraham had have gone ahead with it and actually killed Isaac, is that a dilemma for God? Go like this. But Hebrews 11 tells us, God, your word's on the line here. And consequently, your character is on the line. The Bible tells us that God cannot lie. Because if God lied, he wouldn't be God. Cannot lie. And so Abraham knew that even if he had have killed Isaac that day, Abraham would just sit back and expect God to do what? Raise him from the dead. If you were looking for a place to clap, that would have been a great opportunity. Come on. Come on. Man, that's phenomenal faith. That's phenomenal faith. I want to have that kind of faith. Dad, I want to have that kind of faith. He took God at his word all the way. All right, well, you got a listening sheet. Let me fill these four things in for you. Four principles to be a father of faith. Number one, leave the lost life. Leave the lost life. I'm just going to give you these four things, dads, for you to be a father of faith. Wow, there's just no greater example than Abraham, and there's no greater story than what we read in Genesis 22. And the corresponding declaration of faith in Hebrews 11. And so, dads, if you want to be a father of faith, leave the lost life. Now, there's probably a daddy here today that's not saved. You're lost. And I cannot say to you any plainer than this, you need to get saved. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't let your pride, don't let your manhood stand in the way. You think you're going to be some he-man in hell? That ain't going to happen. You're not going to be a hero in hell. There are no heroes in hell. Don't let society and don't let the flare of what's going on today keep you from humbling yourself and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your wife needs you saved. Your son needs a saved daddy. Your daughter needs a saved daddy. I don't know how many times over the years, it's happened frequently. I mean, several times over 50 years of ministry, I've been in a circumstance where I've heard some little boy or I've heard a teenager pray for his or her daddy's salvation. There's nothing more heartwarming and heart-wrenching than to hear that. And I've heard it more than once. And if you're lost today, get saved today. You need it. You need it. Your spouse needs it. Your son needs it. Your daughter needs a saved daddy. Now, if you are saved, If you are saved, and there are lots of daddies here today that are saved, lots of fathers here today that are saved, well, leave the lost life behind. Be separate. Come out from among the world and live a separated life. Don't be engaged in the unfruitful works of darkness. It's tragic, the statistics that are out there that indicate that the lost world and the statistics inside the church are about the same. And that's tragic. That's a tragic indictment. So that would just imply to me that instead of us influencing the world's influenced us. And daddy's a lot of that. Father's a lot of that has to do with men that haven't stepped up to be men. Just buck up and do it. Just be a man. Be a man of God. And leave the lost life behind you. Come out from the world and be separate. That may have to do with how much time you spend on the internet. If you're spending, and the reality is, there are a lot of dads that spend more time on the internet than you do with your kids. Well, that's a shame. That's a shame. Some of you are engaged in pornography. Well, stop it. Stop it. Get God's help to get set free from that. Some of you are drinking. Maybe you're doing drugs. What are you reading? What are you watching? What are you watching on TV? Man, some of you are far more glued to the TV than you are to what your kids are doing. Well, leave the lost life and get engaged with your family. Get engaged with your son, with your daughter, with your grandkids, and get engaged as a saved dad. Quit flirting with girls at the office. If you're having an affair, then leave it and stop it and get back to your wife and get things right at home. Some of you are fine with lying. God's not fine with your lying. Some of you are fine with doing crooked business deals. That's just so absurd. Live the saved life and leave the lost life. Some of you are more interested in spending time and money on your toys and your entertainment and your sports than you are engaging with your wife and your kids. And I'm okay with shiny things and I'm okay with toys. Don't misunderstand all that. How are the priorities of your life? Leave the lost life. All right, here's number two. And that is, love the Lord. I'm just giving you four simple principles about being a father of faith. Leave the lost life. Number two, love the Lord. How do you do that? Well, you just learn to fall in love with the Lord. How did you fall in love with your wife? Well, man, I tell you what, even as long as Kay and I have been married, I still remember falling in love with that girl. And it started by, now this was back before we had cell phones. This was back when the only phone I had to use was the one phone we had at home. And I can remember my mom saying, "We got our phone bill this month." And I said, "Don't you get one every month?" "Yeah, well, it's never been this high." I said, "Who you been talking to?" I didn't realize it had the number down there. She said, "No, I know who you've been talking to." I said, "Oh, yeah. You reckon Dad will let me borrow the car this weekend? Because, man, I wanted to talk to her, I wanted to spend time with her. So how do you fall in love with God? How do you fall in love with Jesus Christ? Spend a lot of time with him. Spend a lot of time with him. Get to know him. And the more you get to know him, the more you find out you love him. And he loves you. And you get talking to him. And you get spending time with him. We need to do that through his word. Dads, are you in his word? Are you in his word? Are you spending time in his word? Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at this, and you've seen this before. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord's one. You shall love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Amen. So get in his word. Get in his word. And teach the word to your kids. His church. You need to love the Lord. How do you do that? Well, get engaged in his word. Get engaged in his church. God's house, God's people. You need to love God's house. You need to love being here. Psalm 122:1 says, matter of fact, I preached a sermon on this not long ago. I was glad, remember that? I was glad, I think the title of that sermon was Church Day. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Well, you need to be glad about that. You need to illustrate that and demonstrate that to your kids. Learn to be in God's house. Learn to love God's people. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our family. And then his ways. You need to love the Lord through his word. You need to love the Lord through his church. And you need to love the Lord through his ways. His ways are right. His ways are just. His ways are holy. His ways are pure. Proverbs chapter 5. Chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And we're all familiar with that. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We need to love his ways, and we need to be engaged in his ways and be involved in his ways. I don't have the very latest statistics, but some of the statistics that are out about fatherhood are staggering and appalling. About 36% of the children in America live apart from their biological father. Well, that's a tragic deal. That's a tragic deal. And I talk to a lot. I've told you before that I work a lot with drug and alcohol addicts, and those stories are just they're heart gripping and heart wrenching to hear some of the stories and some of the backgrounds, and it's not unusual for me to say to some of these people that are in this drug and alcohol rehab program to say, do you have a relationship with your mom? Do you have a relationship with your dad? Lots and lots and lots of times. Sometimes they say, I don't have a relationship with either of them. A lot of them, though, will be, well, yeah, I'm in communication with my mom. I don't even know who my dad is. Or I haven't been in touch with my dad for a long time. I don't even know where he lives. Some of these statistics are just staggering. Fatherlessness is judged a contributing factor in as many as 3 out of 4 teen suicides. And 4 out of 5 teen psychiatric admittances to hospitals. More than 30% of births today are to unmarried women, and most of these children will always live in mother-only homes. Now, I applaud single moms who are raising their kids and being both mom and dad. And I've watched that in many, many instances. And I'm amazed at how wonderful these single moms are. And we've probably got single moms here today. And so our prayers are with you. And we applaud you for being the godly woman that you are in that home. About half of all children in the United States will experience parental divorce. Let me tell you something, Dad. Listen, and I don't mean to be crude here. If you're man enough to get in bed, and if you're man enough to father a child, then you be man enough to stay in that home and be a father to that child. I mean, forget the spotted owl, my friend. Responsible fathers are a far more important endangered species. All right, now here's the third thing. I'm just giving you some principles, four principles about being a father of faith. Leave the lost life. Love the Lord. Number three, learn to lead. Learn to lead. You need to assume your God-given position. God has anointed you and appointed you to be the spiritual leader in that home. Every wedding that I have ever performed, I think, and I performed a wedding just a week ago last night, and once again, I stood there at the altar with this young man and this young woman, and I said to the young man, "You are the spiritual leader in this home. God has given you that position. Now, be it. Be that spiritual leader." And men, you need to be the spiritual leader in your home. And don't say, "Well, I'm not sure how to do it." Well, let me ask you something. Do you have a job? I'm assuming you do. That you get paid for? I'm assuming you do. How'd you learn how to do that job? Well, here's how that happened. You had some kind of interest in it. You got the job. You showed up. You learned how to do it. You applied yourself. And you show up regularly. Wait a minute. I think I just gave you how to be a dad. It's the same thing. Only you don't get paid for it. Well, you do, but everybody follow me? I'm just saying, learn how to lead. Take an interest. You got the job. You don't even have to make application. You got the job. Go to work. Apply yourself. And show up regularly. And just get her done. Now, one father was trying to explain to his six-year-old the difference between quantity and quality. And he said, "Well, quantity is how much time I spend with you. But quality, I try to give you quality time, son. And that's how good the time is when we're together." So he said, "Which would you rather have?" And the little six-year-old said, "I'd like to have quality time." And the dad sort of smiled, and he said, and then the little boy said, and lots of it." Well, dads, that's what you need to do. Both. All right, here's the last thing I want you to see. We're just these simple principles. Leave the lost life. Number two, love the Lord. Number three, learn to lead. Number four, leave a legacy. Leave a legacy. You need to pass on faith and pass on righteousness. Don't just, you know, I don't know how many times I've heard dads say, well, you know, I'm trying to teach my kids how to handle money, or I'm trying to teach my kids how to have a good job. I'm trying to teach my kids how to have a good vocation. And listen, you need to do all that stuff. But most times when I hear dads tell that, I almost never hear them talk about leaving a spiritual legacy. I must never hear him saying, and you know, I'm trying to teach my kids how to live by faith. I'm trying to teach my kids how to love the Lord. I'm trying to teach my kids how to be passionate about God's word. So don't just teach them about a vocation. Don't just teach them about finances. Don't just say, well, I'm going to leave them a good estate. You pass on things that will really impact their lives. You know, we're told in Proverbs chapter 22 that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Amen. A good name. And you need to engage yourself with an eternal purpose. An eternal purpose. What will you be remembered for? And will it have anything to do with eternal things? What will your kids remember you for? Well, let me just indulge me, please, to close this with this personal thing. There came a time in my ministry and in my life years ago, my kids were pretty young, and God just convicted me. He just flat out convicted me one day that I had time. For your kids. I almost never said no to your kids. Now, this is at First Baptist Branson. When I was pastoring at First Baptist Branson. And if some mom or dad wanted me to counsel their kids or spend time with their kids or take their kids for a Coke or do this or do that, man, I found the time. And God just flat out convicted me one time that I had time for everybody else's kids and I was neglecting my own. I was trying to be a good dad. I was trying to juggle all those balls. But I'm telling you, God just flat out convicted me of the fact that my priorities were misplaced. And so beginning right then and there, I changed those priorities. I still did my best to be a pastor and a pastor to families. But wow. I went to my office. I went to my office and I had three or four secretaries, and I took my account. It was when I had flip calendars on the desk at that time, and I took my calendar into one of my secretaries, and I said, every Tuesday I want you to write Paul's name in there at 3:30 when he's out of school. And every Thursday, I just want you to go through the year, and every Tuesday I want to see Paul's name, and every Thursday at 3:30 I want to see Mark's name. And I started having dates with my kids every week. I started having a regular date, and it got to the point where on Sundays when my boys would come to church, the first thing they did is they ran into my office. They flipped over to Tuesday. Paul wanted to make sure his name was on that calendar. And Mark would flip over to Thursday, make sure his name was on that calendar. And I did everything I could to maintain those dates with my boys. And if someone called in and said, Pastor, are you available Thursday afternoon? And I'd say, well, let me look on my calendar. And I'd flip over and I'd say, oh, I've already got something going on that Thursday afternoon. When else could I meet with you? Because I can't do it on Tuesday. No, I can't do it on Thursday. Because I try to prioritize that. Now, we live in Branson, Missouri. And so, man alive, I tell you what, I fed every duck. Now, when our kids were young, I'm telling you, I fed every duck in town. And I've ridden on every go-kart in Branson, Missouri. And I've eaten more McDonald's cheeseburgers than are good for you. That's probably why I'm in the shape I'm in now. I'm near death because of all those McDonald's cheeseburgers. Now, there came a time as our boys got older, and I'd say to Paul, "You want to go to McDonald's today?" And he'd say, "I was thinking about a steak." "You sure you don't want a cheeseburger, boy?" "Cheeseburgers are good." Nah, it didn't bother me. Didn't bother me at all. I didn't care what it cost. "You want a steak?" "I want a steak. Because what I really wanted, I want to spend time with you." Amen. Daddy, you be that daddy. Whatever it costs you, whatever it takes, you carve out that time. We've done some things before with our boys that couldn't afford it. But we didn't hesitate because it was spending that key intimate time with our boys. And to this day, I cherish spending time with our 40-year-old son and our 44, soon-to-be 44-year-old son. I still cherish those dates. Daddy, you be that godly dad. And you let God work through your life to develop your sons and your daughters. Be a father of faith. Amen. Let me pray with you. Father, that's a wonderful term. Thanks for being our father. Thanks for letting us be your children. And Lord, there are many godly fathers here today. Thank you for them. I pray that you would help them to be conscientious day by day, to be a man of faith, to be a godly father, to have spiritual integrity, to love their wives, their sons and daughters' mother, and to spend time with their sons and to spend time with their daughters, and to demonstrate faith and to demonstrate passion for you and passion for your word. Father, bless these dads here today and give them a long life of loving the Lord, loving their wives, and loving their sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's the invitation. If you're lost today, I address this in point number one. If you're lost today, I'd run down the aisle today. I would. If you're a lost daddy today, or a lost mom, lost son, or lost daughter, I'd run down the aisle and say, I want to get saved. We'll counsel with you today. Pray with you. Introduce you to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're ready to attach yourself to this church. This is a great church. Good days ahead. Maybe you're ready to come and attach yourself and make your life and worship and witness count for Christ right here. If you've never followed Jesus in believer's baptism, we're going to see that illustrated here in just a few moments before we leave. But if you're saved but you've never been baptized by immersion in water, then you come and we'll counsel with you about that. and then expedite that just as soon as possible. Now, the rest of the invitation is this. If your father is here today, I want to encourage you to go to him and just put your arms around him and honor him today. And wives, you just snuggle up close to that dad in your home. And wives, go ahead and offer up a prayer today, right there where you are. Offer up a prayer, asking God to, thanking God for that father in the home, and thanking God for that wonderful leadership that that dad in that home gives. So as soon as we stand, you move to that dad that's in the auditorium. And if your father's not here today, if your father's deceased, then you may want to come to the altar, or you may just want to bow right where you are and offer up that prayer for that dad who's influenced your life. All right? So I want you to have the freedom to move close to that dad. So let's stand together, and you come on to the altar or move close to your dad today.